So we are doing our Personals Pedagogical podcast, and I am honored to have Mitchell Tropin from Tacoma Park, the communications department. Thank you so much for agreeing to interview with me this afternoon.
Well, I'm very glad to be invited, Michelle.
So why don't you tell me about your educational, your professional background and your experiences?
Okay. I've been very fortunate in that my career choices really worked out better than I expected, especially when I got into teaching. When I was in college, I actually thought I was going to be an editorial cartoonist, but I just didn't quite have the right stuff. So I turned to journalism, and actually journalism made a lot of sense for me. My older sister, who's always been one of my heroes, she was a very successful journalist who had the gift of being able to go into any publication or newspaper and do well. So I switched to journalism, and I was very lucky. I became an intern for a Washington-based news organization, the Bureau of National Affairs, BNA Publications, just when Watergate was breaking out, just when the whole scandals involving the Nixon White House were sort of permeating every aspect of Washington life. And I'm going, man, while my sister traveled around the country, I said, this is Washington is the place to be. It is the news center of the world now. And it was very exciting to see things play out where you never knew what from day to day, what news would break out. You'd be at a press conference and someone would run into the room shouting, Nixon's top aides have just resigned. And you go, it just was very exciting. So I was able to turn that internship into a full-time job with BNA. And with BNA, I was able to really enjoy the news reporting process. And so I did that for several decades. After doing that for so many years, I still was interested in more. And as luck would have it, my two colleagues on my publication told me how Johns Hopkins had started a graduate program for creative nonfiction a few blocks from where BNA was located. We were like in walking distance of DuPont Circle where Hopkins was holding those classes. So I signed up for graduate school. I actually took extra classes because I enjoyed grad school so much, but it made me more of a complete writer. And I also saw that just writing for BNA was not going to be enough. So I started doing freelance writing. The funny thing was, so in 2003, I earned my master's in creative nonfiction. And the head of the Hopkins writing program, met all the graduates and addressed us and said, 87% of you will never use your degree for any reason. In other words, you've wasted your time being here. And I was going, well, I'm not going to be part of that 87%. And I was trying to think, well, I am freelancing already. How could I make more use of my degree? And I said, well, gee, I've always thought about teaching. Why not give it a go? Then the next day, I got a call from the English department chair who said, I'm having a really hard time filling this 1 p.m. class. Could you teach a class at 1 p.m.? And I'm going, gee, I mean, I'm still working full-time at BNA, but my managing editor, God bless her, said, yeah, it'll be your lunch hour. And so all of a sudden, I was teaching with actually no prior background. No, I mean, when you start teaching as an adjunct, my experience is not unique. They give you a syllabus, they give you a book, and they go get them.
And so what was that first day like? Because you had no experience.
Oh, it was funny because there's a famous movie involving Burt Reynolds, where he becomes overnight a college professor, and he just stands up there and he talks, and he realizes after 15 minutes, he has nothing else to say. And that's how I felt. Everything went so fast. So having no real direction on what to do, I did what I thought a traditional college professor should do. I gave out reading assignments. I had people read in class. I was, you know, sort of went over through the anthology book we had. And so that went on for about a week. But during that time, I noticed, maybe 2 weeks, I noticed a young woman in my class. She always sat in the back of the room, sort of leaning her chair against the back wall. And as I was trying to lecture or asking people to read or do something, she would like roll her eyes. And I found myself just watching her. And every time I said something, she just rolled her eyes. I'm like, oh. So one day, so after class, I went up to her and I said, "What's going on? You're always like rolling your eyes at me." And she looked at me and said, "This is so high school." And I went, "My God, you're right." And I realized I was not really being me. And I think I was not really doing what I wanted to do, but trying to do what I thought I should do.
How did you pivot from that?
The next class, 2 days later, I said, "This is not working. We're going to start all over. I'm going to get you a new syllabus. I'm going to start doing things where I feel I can really show you not only how to write, but I want to convey with you my love of writing." And the class like sat up. And I said, "I'm not going to call on you to read. We're not going to worry about getting through this page of the book or not." And I sort of abandoned the book, the anthology we had. And I started Xeroxing articles that always meant a lot to me. And so I brought in writers like Maya Angelou, Amy Tan, Frank McCourt. Now I'm blanking on the names. The great Native American writer, Alexa. His last name was like, anyway. And then I also brought in my own writing. And I read to the class, which was something I always had enjoyed when I was an undergraduate in college. I had a professor who taught that way. And as I read to them, I would point out how they achieved the result in their writing and how they were able to do things with writing that made their writing personal. And then I shared them on my own. I shared things from my master's thesis, you know, which was a series of articles and personal essays. And like most of my students at Montgomery College are immigrants. So they really loved when I read them a story by Frank McCourt, the great Irish-American writer who did Angela's Ashes. He had written an article for The New Yorker about his first day in New York from Ireland and what it was like coming to America. And you could just see everybody in that class, they could identify with Frank. And you know, and you could see they really loved that essay. And I could just see students responding. And I said, "Okay, this is not for everybody, but this is what works for me." And that's how I started teaching writing. So I had my students go out and find something interesting about Baltimore and share it with the class. And I wasn't sure what I was going to come up with. But then when they started doing the presentations, they discovered all these wonderful things about Baltimore. Edgar Allan Poe, the history of National Bohemian Beer, Cal Ripken, Burgers Cooking, you know, just one thing after the other. But the thing that the big surprise, the thing that really grabbed me, how happy and excited the students were to share what they had discovered with their classmates. You could feel that buzz they had saying, I can't wait to tell you about, you know, the Feast of St. Anthony's at St. Leo's Church.
What do you think is one of the most, because that to me sounds like you really put a high emphasis on student engagement with your students.
Yes.
What do you think is the most important thing for a faculty member to consider when it comes to promoting that student engagement in their classroom activity?
It has to be something where the student gets rewarded in something more than a grade. It has to be something where they're going to say, wow, I didn't think I was capable of doing that, or boy, did I enjoy it. And sure enough, it was the project called I Love Baltimore. The students discovered something that I had discovered many years earlier as a journalist, that joy you get when you have something incredible to share with an audience. I remember getting a big story and, you know, couldn't wait to get to the computer to type it and get it published. The same thing for these kids. They couldn't wait to let us know what they had learned. And it was contagious. The classroom also, they were all smiles. They loved hearing the stories. And then it just sort of came to me, you know, I had that epiphany. There is a joy in communication. And sadly, we really don't teach that. That students should know communicating is much more than an obligation. It's a lot more than drudgery. It could be joyful. The experience is its own reward. And that's how the students felt. And so I started doing I Love Fill in the Blank wherever I taught. And like I did it at Trinity. And I also then said, you let me know how you want to share the information. Be creative. So some students created videos. Some students did both presentation and had YouTube videos. Others, one person did the history of crab dip and brought in crab dip for the whole class. And there's always at each place where I was teaching something magical. One of my fondest memories of Trinity, we were doing I Love DC. And one of my students, her mom was best friends with Marvin Gaye and his sister. And when Marvin Gaye would come to town to perform at the Howard Theater, her mom and Marvin's sister would be his backup singers. And she did it as a long interview with her mom. And there wasn't a dry eye in the room. But I said, this is such great experience. And you could see it just, and I said, boy, this is like, I've had many great experiences, but this will be probably one of the most memorable. But the fact that I was able to give a student to do something that great went, wow. You know, you sort of look at yourself and say, yes, this, you're on the right path. Don't you? So in 2012, I'm teaching at the Community College of Baltimore County, CCBC. And out of the blue, the Maryland's Commission on Higher Education hands down a edict that students who are in the vocational program, learning HVAC and auto repair, they have to take a speech class. Now, I had actually been talking to my journalism chair about teaching speech, and she says, I'm sorry, it's not my area. Not my jurisdiction. And so I said, oh, well. But the chair who was responsible for speech classes, who's like down the hall from my journalism chair, she just sort of stands in the hallway and says, where the hell am I going to find someone to teach a class on such short notice? And God bless my chair. She says, I've got a guy who is chafing at the bit to teach speech. And I guess the woman said, well, how badly could it go? Because I had no prior experience teaching speech. But she gave me my chance. These were young men and women who dreaded speaking in public. And I said, don't worry, you're going to talk about things you love. And they looked at me like I was crazy. And I said, no. You have this incredible wealth of knowledge. And you're in this program because you love cars. Show that to me. And they took full advantage of it. Years before we saw the movie Ford versus Ferrari, I learned all about the famous Carroll Shelby, about the famous Shelby cars, the rivalry with Ferrari. I learned about great drivers like Ken Miles. I learned actually from one really brilliant student that there were defective auto impact bags, and learned the history of the Mustang, learned about other great cars. The students really just took it to heart. One person did, a great presentation about how he and his dad would restore classic autos together. And the class, again, there was that vibe where people were talking about things they loved and learning how to present it well and giving them the tools that they want, were not intimidated about sharing their stories because they had the right tools. And I approached teaching speech the way I approach teaching writing. Lower the intimidation factors. I think letting them know that what matters to them is important. I think they have been too easily discouraged from sharing their life stories, sharing what they really love, and feeling that what they have to say is not important enough. So they try and grab some topic that they're not really that interested in, certainly not passionate about, and you get really boring stuff. If I can get them to say, I know there's things that are important to you, and you don't have to worry about whether they're important to anybody else. If it's important to you, that passion will really make that speech resonate, and your audience will thank you. There's just so many great things I've learned through my students' presentations. And, sometimes, even something that's meant to be lighthearted was still a matter of joy and delight for both the class, the presenter, and for myself. Basically, just following that gut reaction to say what works for me will work for my students. And that, brings us to the present, where I'm continuing to teach at MC and teaching at other schools. But MC is where where my heart is.
Well, I think this is great. I really appreciate the time that you have shared with me this afternoon. I know you're very, very busy, but I know that I really appreciate you and that enthusiasm that you have. I appreciate you letting us take a peek inside your classroom, your philosophy of teaching, where your head is at, and just the way you value student success and that the students have their own voices. I mean, that's so important. So thank you so much for spending this time with me this afternoon.
Well, thank you very much for giving me this opportunity. I know I've, said bits and pieces of this, someplace here, someplace there, but to actually sit down and have this, time to put it all together has been very rewarding, very satisfying to me. So I'm very appreciative of this opportunity. And thank you, Michelle. It also is it's nice every once in a while reaffirm that I'm where I am where I want to be.
And we're lucky to have you here.
Thank you. And likewise, I'm really, you are exceptional as one of the instructional people. It's been a delight working with you through Elite, through SRT. You know, I'm glad that you're part of the MC community.
The feeling is mutual.